All right, take out your Bibles if you would. We're starting the Gospel of John, John chapter 15. Then we're going to be in the book of Job in the Old Testament. John in the New Testament, Gospel of John, and then Job chapter 20. So John chapter 15, verse 11, I want to talk about tonight, kind of do it more like it maybe just a Bible study tonight, on Christian joy, and what makes Christians happy, what puts a joy in their life. And there really is a difference between joy and happiness. I've heard this explained before, that happiness is when everything's going well for you, you're happy. But the Christian joy is much deeper than that. A Christian has a joy no matter what they're going through. They can have a joy and they can mourn about things at the same time. They can have problems and difficulties because they're living for the Lord. But they'll also have a joy that's there. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Let's start in John chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you," and this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." So the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ will remain, stay in us. "That your joy might be full." They have a joy in their lives, a joyous thing. All right, so John chapter 15, verse 11 says, "My joy," talks about the joy of the Lord, "is going to be in us, and that your joy might be full." Two kinds of joys here. His joy that's in him, of course, and he puts in us too, and our joy also. Two kinds of joy, two sources there. All right, now let's turn to Job chapter 20. And verse number 5. And this is kind of interesting. This is the other side to it. It says that the triumphing of the wicked is short. Short amount of time. And the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. So the triumphing of the wicked is short. Their victories last for a very short amount of time comparatively. And the joy of the hypocrite, there's a joy in lost people, there's a joy in hypocrites, but it's just going to last a very short time. Now, they have a joy, but it doesn't last like the Christian joy does. All right, I want to talk about those six things tonight then. What are Christian joys connected with? First of all, Galatians chapter 5, we're going to talk about the joy, the fruit of the Spirit. When a person gets saved, they have the joy of the Lord in their life. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God, in some scriptural, biblical way, in some special way, there's some spiritual way, the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells inside the Christian. And what a difference that makes. And one of the differences is it puts a joy in our lives. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't mean that every Christian is going to have these all the time in their life. It's a fruit. It has to be developed. It has to grow. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. When a person's saved, they do get the Holy Spirit, but they don't get always the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's something that has to be grown in the Christian. That's something that has to be developed in the Christian. So it's the fruit of the Spirit, but it's love and joy. And there's our joy right there. The Holy Spirit of God puts a joy in our lives. As we grow spiritually, we'll be more joyful. As we grow spiritually, we'll be more joyful in spite of our surroundings and in spite of difficulties we might go through, but we will grow more joyful all the time. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you have to go around with a silly smile on your face all the time. I know some people try to do that, and that's all right. You know, I appreciate when somebody tries to be happy when they're not happy. I don't think that's being hypocritical. I think it just means that they want to have the joy of the Lord in their life, and they want people to know there's something different about them because the Lord puts a joy in their heart. Now, we go through, Christians, you go through hard things. You do. I know that. But isn't that joy still there? Because the Holy Spirit of God is still there, no matter what. So the fruit of the Spirit, the Christian joy, is there, number one. Number two, There's joy in considering the future that we have that we're looking forward to. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in other words, looking to his example, who for the joy, now there's our word tonight, joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. But one of the things that encouraged him was looking to the future. Joy in considering the future. Thinking of heaven brings joy, brings a strength, and brings a steadfastness to our lives. This life is just for a short time. Be faithful. Don't quit. Don't give up. Another verse that talks about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Talking about this kind of same kind of subject here. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The time we spend in this life and the difficulties we go through. Christian, understand, it's for a very short amount of time comparatively. And when we're in heaven experiencing and enjoying joy, there's that word again, enjoying all the glories of heaven, to be with the Lord forever. We'll look back in this world and say, that was nothing. That was nothing by comparison. For I reckon, here's the way I look at it, Paul says here in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and we do go through sufferings, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Look at those next two words. Where is this glory going to be revealed? In us. In us. Christian, in you. There's a glory. You're going to have a glory about you at this time. In Jesus Christ, he's all glorious because of what he is and who what he did for us. He has the greatest glory, of course. But we have this glory too. This glory that shall be revealed in you, Christian. In you. What a joy that's going to bring. Considering the future. It's coming up, Christian, so don't stop now. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. No matter how difficult it gets, keep on being faithful, steadfast. Keep on serving the Lord because the future is going to be here. The future is going to be here. So number two, there's joy in considering the future that we have that we're looking forward to. Number three, joy as a source of spiritual strength. If you could find Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, now, that's before Job and Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Then he said unto them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy, holy separated unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry." Sometimes we can be sorrowful and sorry about things in our life. Maybe we want them to go better or different or whatever it is, but don't be sorry. I've heard Christians say, "Boy, it's hard to serve the Lord." You know, I'm very observant and of attitudes. I watch people for their attitudes. What kind of attitude are they going to have? Do they have a bad attitude, good attitude, happy attitude, angry attitude, irritable attitude? I look for attitudes. I see a lot of bad attitudes in myself sometimes, too. I look in the mirror and I see some attitudes. I point at that guy and say, "You better get your attitude right." So you better get your attitude right. Don't be sorry about things. Don't regret things. But it says for. Because if you're going to be sorry about things, you have the wrong attitude about things. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you've got the wrong attitude here, you're not going to be strong in the Lord. Don't be sorry about things. Don't regret things. Serve the Lord with a joy in your heart. Because you lose the joy, you lose your strength. You lose that joy. Are you happy serving the Lord today? If you're not, change. You say, "I can't." I like that sign I saw on the Marine barracks. It says, "Can't means won't." Can't. When people say, "I can't do that," what they're really saying is, "I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that." Can't means won't. Spiritual strength. Good little story here. I had this in the bulletin a few years ago. When the Spartans and the Persians met in battle, As the way this story went, it says, when the Spartans marched into battle, they advanced with cheerful songs, willing to fight. But when the Persians entered the conflict, you could hear, as the regiments came on, the crack of whips by which the officers drove the cowards to the fray and to the battle. They were driven to the battle. You need not wonder that a few Spartans were more than a match for the thousands of Persians, and that, in fact, they were like lions in the midst of sheep. So let it be with the church. Never should she be forced to reluctant action, but full of irrepressible life. She should long for conflict against everything which is contrary to God. Were we enthusiastic soldiers of the cross, we should be like lions in the midst of herds of enemies. And through God's help, nothing would be able to stand against us. The attitudes, ready for the battle, having that joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So have that joy. Get that joy back, Christian. You say, well, I've gone through some things. I have lost my joy. I'm not as excited about being saved now as I was a few years ago even. Well, get that joy back. Pray about that matter. Read the Bible. Ask God to help you. Have you ever been in churches where they don't have the joy anymore? You know, they don't say amen, and they don't get excited about the ministries and working for the Lord. And I mean, there's just that inner joy inside of them. They've lost a lot if they lose that joy. Lost a lot. Number four, a joy in judgment. Turn to Proverbs now, if you would. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 7. A judgment as the Bible gives it, and the Bible says that judgment is good. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 7. Proverbs 21, verse 7. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them. Now, that doesn't sound good. Why? Why are they destroyed? Because they refuse to do judgment. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. We see that a problem in America today too, don't we? People breaking the law, and it seems like our government, a lot of government officials and judges and so forth, they don't want to condemn people. They don't want to do a judgment on them. They should. And what's happening? Our nation's being destroyed. Our nation is going down because of this. Here it is in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 7. It's amazing how much the Bible applies to everyday life, isn't it? To our government and government officials and the laws of our land and our country. It's amazing how much the Bible applies. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them because they refuse to do judgment. That's a good verse. And then the one we already said in Proverbs 21, verse 15. It is joy to the just to do judgment. Judgment brings a joy to the Christian life. Why? Because we judge things. We finally know what's right and what's wrong. We can make those kind of judgments. We don't have to wonder about things. We don't have to worry about things. We don't have to live in this area that so many people live in where there is no right and wrong anymore. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. Bible's right. God's always right. We know these things. And therefore, we have such a peace of mind about things because we know what's right. We know what's wrong. Proverbs 21, verse 7. It is joy to the just to do judgment. How about John chapter 7, verse 24, where the Lord says, judge righteous judgment. Three words. It's all this, three words. Judge righteous judgment. That's a command. Guess who said that? The Lord himself. And then one of our favorite verses also in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. It's our calling to judge. We have the Bible where we can judge with. It teaches us the truth in the right way. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble, the Bible says. But we know. And what a joy it is to know what's right. What a joy it is to know you're saved. What a joy it is to know you're going to heaven someday. What a joy that brings. There's joy in judgment. We judge ourselves, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith, the Bible says. We judge others, as the Bible says here, judge righteous judgment. And because they refuse to judge, they're going to be destroyed. So we know we judge ourselves, we judge other people. We go around with a righteous kind of judgment, a holy kind of judgment, a biblical kind of judgment, the right kind of judgment, and it brings a joy to our lives because we know right from wrong. The world out there, it's an opinion-oriented society, isn't it? They'll bring up some subject or some idea and they'll say, what do you think about that? All the call-in programs, I listen to some of those call-in programs. I kind of find them interesting, so I listen to them sometimes, but it's almost never have I ever heard anybody say, well, what does the Bible say about that subject? Nobody seems to want God's opinion in this opinion-oriented society. What's wrong with this picture, as they say? As we learned in Sunday school this morning, all those different qualities in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it talks about all those different qualities. It says to follow these qualities. And listen to what was it, 5 or 6 different qualities there. And I said, if you don't know what those qualities are, you can't even define them, how can you know if you're following them or not? If you don't know what patience is and all these different things that were listed there in 1 Timothy chapter 6. How can you know you're following them if you don't even know what those qualities are? Interesting, isn't it? Joy and temptations, too. This is a strange one. Let me try to explain it. You know, a quality that we really need and is brought out a lot in the Bible, but we don't like. It's brought up so many times when it talks about being spiritual-minded and being a spiritual person, this quality. But we just don't like this quality. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. There's our word tonight, joy. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse means all different kinds of temptations. There's all different kinds of temptations we can fall into or we can be confronted with. So it's kind of all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How is that a joyful thing? To go through temptations where the Lord allows you to be tempted like he did Job in the Old Testament. He allowed Satan to tempt Job in different ways and diverse temptations. Fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, there's that word we don't like, patience. Patience. Oh, we're so hasty so many times, but it says here, temptation works on your patience. How's your patience, Christian? Are you growing in your patience? Are you more patient now? Now, instead of counting to 10, you count to 12 before you get mad. How's your patience, Christian? You come up to trying situations and you feel yourself getting a little upset about things. Can you control yourself? Can you control your own actions? Work with patience. Now, why? Verse 4. Let's continue reading, though, here in verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work. See, patience perfects us as Christians. Being patient in times of our temptations perfects us as Christians. Is that what it's saying? Patience will make you a perfect, mature Christian. But let patience have her perfect work. That's that old joke, you know, they always say, I want patience and I want it right now. You know, you've heard that, haven't you? But let patience have her perfect work that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Here's the little formula. Being tempted, having patience, perfects you. Wow. That's what it's really saying. Now, by the way, I like verse 5 a lot. That's one of the first early verses I ever memorized as a Christian. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He'll give you a lot of it. And upbraideth not. He's not going to upbraid you about that. He's not going to get in your case. And it shall be given him. Our God is so generous, folks. Joy in temptations, why it matures us. We need patience in serving the Lord. And then the last one tonight, joy in salvation. Let's turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Luke 15, verse 7 says, I say unto you, and the I there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. There's our word, joy, in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Now, let's look at that verse 10, just for a minute here. Who is rejoicing? Likewise, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Okay, in the presence of the angels of God. Is it God? Is it Jesus Christ that's rejoicing? Is it the angels? Is the redeemed already in heaven? Is it someone else I'm not even thinking of or haven't read about? Or is it someone else, none of the above? Or is it all of the above? You know, I like that last one. I think it's all of the above. I think the angels are rejoicing, God is rejoicing, Jesus Christ is pleased with that. The redeemed that are already up there around his throne, they're rejoicing because of that. There's great rejoicing in heaven. There's joy in heaven. Can you imagine that? What's happening here on earth can bring a joy into heaven. That's good. That is good. So who's rejoicing there? I think it's just there's just a general sense and feeling of rejoicing throughout heaven, knowing that people are getting saved. Repenting, as it says, use the word repentance there too. Boy, when I first got saved, there was a joy in my heart. What a joy. Christian joy. You know, Christian, this world, we have our problems. And man is bound for trouble as the sparks fly upward. But there's problems in this world. But we still have a joy here already. But imagine what heaven's going to be like. Eternal joy forever. God is a God who gives joy. Joy. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the joy that we have, even this side of heaven, as we anticipate that time and think about that time. But even right here, Lord, we rejoice that we can serve you. There's a joy in our heart that we can share the gospel with people around us. So bless the invitation time now for whatever prayer requests we might have, whatever spiritual needs we might want to pray about, or others we might want to pray about to be saved, or maybe even someone tonight to walk the aisle because they want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. So, Father, may they do that. We especially pray for them. Bless the invitation time. May the Lord be honored. In Jesus' name we pray now. Amen.